the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. And I am joined, as I am every Monday now, by my co-host Loretta Frelick, a former criminal prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Great to be back with you. Hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day. Loretta, how was your Memorial Day?
My Memorial Day was absolutely fabulous.
Were you up at your lake home?
You know, I was not.
Oh.
Because one of the other things that's celebrated on Memorial Day is the Indy 500. And my family, my nieces and niece and nephews, have a tradition with the family, the other family.
Okay.
Where they go to Indy and have been going to Indy for their family's entire life.
So from their mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
how
so
fun.
It's a rite of passage. Well, you know, I can't say as I see any reason to sit in the hot sun or the rain and watch cars go around the track.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. I am mesmerized by the pit changes.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen that where pulls in to gas up. Four guys come at it with tires. One guy gasses it up, and the one tire on the what would be the passenger side taps the guy on the car and sends him out in a matter of maybe
two seconds.
No,
I know that is what I remember from Speed Racer, that cartoon when I was a kid. But
they got it from somewhere, and they got it from the Indy, and so that to me is mesmerizing.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's interesting to watch because there is so much that has poured into it with these guys that have been, you know, trying to qualify, finally qualifying. There's qualifying races. You can get bumped. And, you know, I learned a lot. And these kids are little encyclopedias about India.
Oh, that's really funny.
It is kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever met anybody who's gone before.
Yeah, so they go every year.
That's really interesting. I mean, I can get into, you know, I love Churchill Downs and I love... Mm-hmm.
But you're a little bit more about the fastener, right, Mary?
Right. It's a wonderful goal because the race itself is only, 90 seconds long? So
right.
The Kentucky Derby. So you have to, there's other things you need to occupy yourself with. But the fashion on both the men and the women's sides, the hats are so elegant. And then, you know, the men are always in dapper outfits. And I like that they take care with their appearance so that you could go to something like that. And it is one of those events that still people haven't turned it into slumming. And it hasn't, you wouldn't show up in yoga pants. And you know, I love that kind of decorum. I wish that, you know, our society would go back to that a little bit more, you know, and I don't mean to exclude people, you know, because you don't have to be wealthy to dress, you know, especially now, my goodness, with the thrifting.
Yes.
What has just become, I think my kids buy almost all of their clothing, they thrift.
Yeah.
And I got, this was kind of interesting, I thrifted some things with an online thrift store called ThredUp, which I won't do again because you get pennies on the dollar for what, I thrifted two pairs of pants that were new with tags on, and I think I got $2 or $3 for each pair.
Oh,
yeah,
Mary,
you get almost nothing back. You get the stuff out of your house, and it's somebody else buys it who will wear it and love it. But I took my little earnings that I had from the two bags of clothes I sent in, and I purchased. I thought it looked like it was a nice blazer, Acris, which is kind of very high-end brand. It's still, it arrived. I paid $88 for it. It still arrived. Do you know what the price tag on it was? $2,990.
Oh, my goodness gracious,
I bought it for $88. So I feel sorry for the person who consigned that, and I picked it, you know, their $3,000 blazer from Neiman Marcus with the Neiman Marcus tags.
Oh, my goodness.
Still attached to it. It had one little moth hole in the collar, which was not disclosed.
Uh-huh.
But still, that's still a, I mean, you can't see it. It's a dark jacket, and those can be easily repaired.
At the cleaners,
at the cleaners, yeah, the dry cleaners can.
Wow.
So, but yeah, so that, again.
Well, good shopping there.
Yes. So, you know, you just go on there, and you just, you know, you put new with tags into your search, and then you'll only get items that still have the tags on them. And, you know, for a gal on a budget, that can be a lovely way to dress. But, you know, I was just thinking over the weekend, you know, we didn't go downtown to State Street to Marshall Fields or anything like that. We got dressed up if we went downtown.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
you know, and people got dressed up to go to Mass. I mean, not extravagantly, but you wore something nice. You know, you wore a skirt or a dress or what have you. And now, you know, people are at Mass in their pajama pants. And I don't know. I just, and there's, God wants them there if they're in their pajama pants too. That's, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just thinking, you know, allowed here, that it was just nice when we occasionally dressed up for things.
Well, and you said something about yourself, and you said something about where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
You know, and
it,
there's something just so wonderful about seeing everyone dressed up for Easter.
Yes, right.
And, you know, a lot of the little girls matching up
right.
with
and
their
Christmas.
Sisters. Yes. But Christmas, you mostly got coats.
Yep.
But this year we had such
That's
a beautiful
right. nice
Easter.
Coats. Yes.
But, you know, back to, you know, some of the events that come in springtime, the horse races and
Easter. Yep. And you got a lot of confirmations, graduations, weddings, all that kind of stuff.
Someone has left a pair of shoes in our church that were recovering at confirmation.
What? Oh, the heels were so high the girls took them off. Yeah.
But, you know, I got to tell you, at the practice, that is the message I give the girls.
Yeah.
I said, listen, wear shoes that you're comfortable in.
Right.
And if you're going to wear those.
You're going to be standing for a long time.
Right.
So don't.
If you're going to wear those 3-inch high heels, walk in them a couple of times before that night. And you still see the girls hobbling. And,
right.
You know, I guess it's a lesson you can only learn when your feet have blistered.
Right. No,
We should become like the royals and buy our shoes one size too big so
right,
we
exactly.
don't blister.
That's what they do. Well,
yes.
I stupidly wore a pair of shoes. I have espadrille sandals that are not 3 inches. They're like 1.5 inches or something because I'm tall, so I normally don't do a big heel anyway. But I haven't worn them, you know, since last summer. And there I am trotting along. I went to, Kevin and I went to the Memorial Day Parade in River Forest, where you live and I live close to. That had been a tradition in our little family since my girls were babies. I mean, we went, that was always a wonderful, wonderful parade. And you had, you know, the kids brought their bags for the candy.
Yes.
It used to start all the way over at a park and then it would proceed through the village, you know, and we had friends who had a house on the parade route, and they would have fried chicken and, you know, little treats and stuff for the kids. It just it really marked the beginning of the summer for our family. And
yes,
I mean, we just looked forward to it all year long. And so we haven't been as a family in quite some time, and I don't think we will ever be going as a family again.
Well, Mary, I got to tell you, you aren't the only one.
Did you read the story? I mean, it just, so listeners, what I'm referring to is that, you know, normally the floats you would have, it's the Boy Scouts, it's the high school marching bands.
Antique cars.
Antique cars. Somebody dressed up as Uncle Sam on a bicycle.
Right.
You know, it was just very clean. You know, it was one of the few events that you could still go to where somebody's agenda wasn't being shoved down your throat and that that you didn't have to leap in front of your children and cover their eyes so they wouldn't see what was going by. I mean, it just was, and everyone was welcome. And no one cares what gender you are or anything else. And then
it really has no political agenda
than
to
honoring
the war dead.
Exactly. And what we always enjoyed seeing was Mats Tinelli, the old-fashioned car that used to have Mats Tinelli, who was a war veteran, who was a football player for the University of Notre Dame, who survived the Bataan Death March. And he survived the Bataan Death March because when he was being marched along, a Japanese soldier who had gone to USC recognized his Notre Dame ring and then recognized him and had seen him in this incredible play that he had run. And so therefore gave him a little bit of water and a little bit of food and took his Notre Dame ring from him during the march and then gave it back to him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible story. Have you ever heard of him, Mazzatonelli?
No, know? I have not.
Oh,
I have not.
Yeah, it was a very famous Notre Dame. And he would be in the River Forest Parade every year. He's since passed away. But, in the studio here, there used to be a picture of Mazzatonelli. Anyway, but those were the kind of things, you know.
Another one, too, that is so important to remember is the town of Maywood borders River Forest.
Right.
And when I used to be in a judge of election, there was a man, I wish I could recall his name, but now that you bring up the parade, one of the things that he did was he studied the Bataan March.
Oh, interesting.
And the Army and the Armed Services used to put kids from towns together, men from towns together.
Okay.
And it was the Bataan March that wiped out Maywood.
Oh,
the young
really?
Men. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
How did that happen? Oh, because they were all grouped together.
The whole
together.
Town was grouped together.
Okay.
Thinking that it was morale boosting to be with people from your own town. And so what happened was, now that's why they do not group individuals from towns together.
Interesting, because they lost so many of their own.
Because they lost almost every young man from Maywood in the Bataan March.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
it was awful. I mean, that was.
And, you know, for the listeners that were listening on air when we were talking about Memorial Day the last couple of shows, you know, Memorial Day started out as Decoration Day.
Right.
And it started out in the 1800s where two different groups, they attribute one to New York and one to South Carolina.
Okay.
And in South Carolina, community were black war veterans that went around decorating the graves.
Okay.
And then there was somebody in New York who they did the same thing like a year later. And for some reason, the U.S. gives the town of New York the credit for starting Decoration Day.
Interesting.
But, you know, it's never been a parade where you have candidates or, you know, you can march if you're already elected an elected official.
Okay.
But it's never been, you know, tons of candidates. If you're going to get handed something as an adult, you're going to get a River Forest bag.
Yeah.
To carry your stuff. But Memorial Day has always been about honoring the war dead. And so you see the buildup to it is all these service people putting flags on all of the graves.
Right.
In all of the government cemeteries that, you know, Arlington. We have one in Lincoln, Illinois, where my Uncle Donald is buried. But it's never been about this other stuff. And what I found so interesting was one of the persons interviewed for the article in the journal said, we used to call this the Mayberry Memorial Day Parade.
Right.
Mayberry,
yeah.
It doesn't get any, you know.
So for those who don't understand that reference, there was a very popular show in the 1960s called The Andy Griffith Show, and it was about a kind of nondescript small town in the, not deep south, but sort of south. And everything, just like any little town in America, charming and, you know, the most exciting thing that would happen that they needed the sheriff for, somebody would have too much to drink and fall asleep at the bar, you know, and then have to be kept in jail over the weekend.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's very, but the Memorial Day Parade in River Forest was a lot like that. It was like Mayberry.
And the article also indicates that Don Harmon and State Rep Camille Lilly were carrying signs that said...
Well, I didn't see them themselves, though. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure exactly what Camille Lilly looks like, but I know what Don Harmon looks like because I went to high school with him.
Yes.
But it was like a float kind of thing. And all their volunteers are... You know, those two campaigns,
yes.
You know, working with those two campaigns. And
so they attacked Republicans over abortion this year.
Yeah. Well, it was, they had signs that said, we're not going back and pro-choice and we vote. Yes. You know, so, you know, who needs to, you know, see that at the darn Memorial Day parade?
Right.
And then, you know, some of the women, kind of older, you could just tell wealthy white women, you know, are sitting there, you know, clapping and applauding as the abortion signs go by. You want to just say, what on earth are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it just, anyway, it's just very, it was very distressing. But the most distressing thing that I saw was, and we're, you know, River Forest and Elmwood Park and Oak Park in Chicago all meet, right, at Four Corners,
right,
at Harlem and North Avenue. So you have people that come from, because River Forest is the only community that has the Memorial Day parade. Elmwood Park does the 4th of July parade. At any rate, and so there was the Oak Park LGBTQIA++ community. Dressed in rainbow costumes and in the blue and pink trans flag, and then in the polyamorous. Somebody had a poly, I think that's what it was, the polyamory flag. I am not sure, but it wasn't just, you know, gays and lesbians asking for respect and to be left alone and to make it known that they're part of the community. It was a white car with a big gender unicorn. The gender,
yes,
unicorn is this teaching device that's used in a lot of the public schools, the government schools, to teach children about gender fluidity and the 72 different genders that we have now. I think that's what the number's up to. And so there it was. And then, you know, as if that wasn't bad enough, and they probably had 20 to 30 people marching with them, they had these rainbow bracelets,
right,
that they had something stamped on. They were going up to all the little kids who had their little kids who had their little candy bags and putting them in their, you know.
Yes.
I mean,
and putting
what?
Them on their wrists.
Exactly. And in their little candy bags. You know, what on earth?
And if this isn't a marketing tool, I mean, every little girl in America loves a unicorn. You know, it's sort of like, let's find out what is the most appealing to these little kids, and that will be our marketing tool.
Yeah.
Whether it works for us or doesn't, we're going to take the thing that is the most attractive to them. But going back to our initial question, Mary, why cannot we have an opportunity to honor our war dead when their actual sacrifice? I mean, we are free because they chose to fight,
yes,
for our freedom.
Yeah.
We can go to a parade and hand out, you know, gendered fluidity bracelets because they died for our freedom.
Right.
So what is it about us that everything our personal ideology has to promote gets to take front and center stage, dismissing the actual purpose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just appalling. And again, you know, this is a very Oak Park is extremely hard left. You know, River Forest, you'd have
not too far behind. Don't worry.
But some people, but not hardly everybody.
Not
right?
everybody. You're
and
right.
And not everyone, but you know, everybody's. So no one. This is not a community where people who have another orientation other than a heterosexual one are threatened in any
right,
way.
Right.
Like, no one would care if,
right,
you know, it would be very much a, you know, common thing, especially in Oak Park. So, like, I don't understand the point. Why did you need to be there to give rainbow gender unicorn stuff to little kids?
Well, you know, Mary,
Why? What is the purpose of that? Because,
Mary, what people need to do is wake up.
Yeah.
Before, it was just trying to get a gay pride contingent in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in,
right,
New York.
Right.
You know, Catholic, Irish, gay people.
Right.
Okay? That's what
and they
it
were
was.
People when that happened. They were from Ireland. They
right.
were native, yep, born Irish people,
yes,
who wanted and just to march as gay people.
Yes.
And so
and they said no.
Yes.
And they took charge of their parade every year.
Yes.
They kept saying no, and you know the battle. You know, after they finally won it, you know the battle is coming to your neighborhood now.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah, no
beat
question.
It back on national stage, and everyone's laughing at New Yorkers like, you crazy people.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's you crazy people now. And it is. It
yeah.
is.
No, it was so, that was just, I have to say, it was very disheartening. And then, So it was interesting to see the story that was in, what was it, the West Cook News?
Yes.
Was that the story? That was in the West Cook News, and which had pictures of, you know, these activists with flags wrapped around them, like kind of like a cape, like it was Superman or something like that. It just, so I don't know. I certainly, if I went back, I would not bring little children to this. No. I just don't think that's appropriate. I think, again, everyone would have expected that if this was, you were going to the Pride Parade, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't, you know. Yes. No one is in any way saying that these, that they didn't have a right to be there, that
right.
it was, but, you know, I think we should let family events be family events, and there's no, and if you just kind of keep it focused on, like you said, the war dead, that's
yes.
what this parade is supposed to be. It's not about everybody in the community, you know,
getting their mouthpiece
right.
and getting to scream it on
right.
their megaphone.
Right, exactly.
It is not about that. And it never was about
no,
that.
No, it never was.
And
so.
To turn around and make it about that is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I
so
mean,
that was really disappointing. And
I got a nephew who's an Eagle Scout who, while he was still in college, would go back to play in the band because they needed me. And
yeah.
You know, and it was the honorable thing to do as a former Eagle. Well, you're never a former Eagle Scout, I guess, but as an Eagle
right,
Scout
right.
to
Eagle
help
Scouts.
The rest
right.
of the Boy Scout troop.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like people march to support the war dead. I know our parish had a contingent. And, I mean, it's not like it's a big deal. I mean, they're basically doing the banner in front, wearing T-shirts that match, and throwing candy. I
yes.
mean... And this is what we need.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, and again, this was always a family event,
right.
little kids.
Right.
And I would hope that, you know, no one was saying that people who are gay couldn't be there and be
nope.
present with their own families, you know.
Honoring the war dead.
Honoring the war dead, exactly.
Which was the theme of the parade,
right.
to honor the war dead.
You know, but I would hope that in a diverse community, people would understand that, you know, there are some families who would not be uncomfortable with their 4 or 5 or 6 year old child being present for that, you know. And then there were some clips going around Twitter this morning of some floats in actual gay pride parades. I mean, that were bordered on pornographic. I mean, there was
bordered.
Not even bordered. No, right. I mean, I can't. A man half naked in some kind of bondage gear with another man pretending to whip him. Like, why on earth? You know. And again, I've no problem with people of different orientations being respected. Not
yes.
having, you know, they have a right to be left alone.
Yes.
All
know,
of those
too,
things.
Mary, it the other thing that happens when something like this occurs and they try to hijack the Memorial Day parade to honor the war dead, you send parents home with kids that have questions like, what was that all about?
Right.
Or why are you taking that bracelet, Mommy? You know, you take what's a fun day, Memorial Day.
Right.
Picnics, park, outdoor with your family and your friends.
Right.
And you turn it into another clash against the culture.
Right.
And if that's not what you want for your family.
That is a very good point.
You now are spending a day you look forward to, time off from work, explaining what just happened.
Yeah.
And why it's not appropriate.
Right, right. And then, anyway, I think it pits families against each other.
Sure.
You know, it's a divisive thing.
It is.
And again, just can we just go back to honoring the war dead, to, you know,
yes,
giving respect to the people who died for this country, and just leave, you know, abortion and, you know, trans rights or whatever.
Right.
Can we leave that for the gay pride parade?
Leave it to the abortion parade.
Right.
Leave it to the trans rights
right.
parade.
Right, exactly.
And then they can do whatever they want and as many people can come, but don't hijack a parade when others have come.
Right.
To honor our war dead. And, you know,
yeah.
these guys.
Anyway, I think we should take a break now because
okay.
I feel myself becoming more and more agitated. But, listeners, we did want to raise that because I think probably some of you would have seen the story in the West Cook News. So we wanted to just, as two people who are longtime residents of the area and who have been to that parade many times, we thought we would address that personally. So we're going to go into our first break and
And know it's coming. Know it's coming to your community.
Oh, yeah.
So
be ready. Exactly.
This was a public service segment.
Right. And so I think next time, you know what you have to do before you go to any parade is you have to check with your village or whatever, and they'll have a list of participating floats and groups and what have you, and educate yourself before you go. Sad that you have to say that for Memorial Day Parade, but if you're going to your community's 4th of July parade, you might want to check that out. So, at any rate, well, listeners, please do stay with us. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change. Do not go away.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Fralick
on Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
And welcome back. This is Mary and Loretta. We're sitting in today for Father Anthony. And we just finished discussing the Memorial Day Parade in River Forest, Illinois. And in our show notes, if you're going to be listening to this on a podcast, we'll put in the link to that story that Loretta mentioned.
Ah, great article.
Yeah.
And brave.
With pictures.
With pictures, yeah. And brave village resident who made her comments, because it was really,
But you know, isn't it interesting that the person wasn't named? I mean, like,
the person probably didn't want to name their name.
Course.
So
no,
they don't get,
don't
like,
be
blackballed and canceled and picketed.
And your house egged and everything else. And I, you know, anyway, it's sad that this is where we are. And there's, you know, when everyone's preaching tolerance and diversity, there's neither. So that's been my no tolerance and for a different point of view, and certainly no diversity.
Well, Mary, I can't say that this show is ever really about sports.
Yes.
However,
we have had
Lauren Majera on as
that's
a guest.
Right.
So,
the former sports newscaster for WGN.
Right.
That was a terrific guest.
She is. She's a terrific woman. And, you know, what I find even more appalling than the parade, and I didn't think it would be possible, is the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Do not get me started.
Don't get you started.
For the listeners who may not be aware of this controversy.
The Los Angeles Dodgers on Pride Night, which is June 16th, are going to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And at first they announced that they were honoring it, and a bunch of real solid citizens like Brian Birch from Catholic Vote.
Right.
And
it was Catholic Vote pretty much spearheaded.
And then
our
Catholic League, Bill Donahue,
Bishop
joined
Robert
in.
Barron,
but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I do want to address that too.
Absolutely.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so what happened was, if you go online and you see who these women, or they're not women, they're men dressed in drag as sisters, but it's like kabuki theater. I mean, it's like their faces are totally white, and then they're some sort of just grotesque makeup that's applied with eyebrows and, you know, mouth and lipstick. But anyway.
So any of those kind of like trans drag queen things that you've seen, it's that, but with a mockery of Catholic religious
and
women,
a mockery,
religious, and nuns.
A mockery of the sisters.
So do you know the difference, speaking of, between a nun and a sister?
No.
A religious sister. So there is actually a difference. So people,
they had the same power in my family.
Yeah, well, people use the term interchangeably, although mm-hmm. a nun technically is a woman religious mm-hmm. who is in a cloister.
Okay.
Who has taken vows of special vows that require cloister, so they never leave. So okay. like the cloister karma. Okay. Those are nuns.
All right.
And but what we're talking about is women religious. No, even in okay. like there are
Mary
religious publications where people say nun, but we're not talking about nuns.
No, anyway, we're not proceed. Talking about that right now. The proceed. Difference is irrelevant. But what is important is that the Dodgers baseball team was Major League Baseball was contacted. Major League Baseball pulled something, got the Dodgers to pull it back. But the LGP alphabet group got back in the Dodgers' face, and now it's back on. And now that it's back on, people are taking a deeper look, because initially they were saying this group does a lot of good charity work for AIDS and helping other people in the LGBTQ plus community. But the news media started looking at it. Have you seen?
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
And have you seen the crucifixion?
Yeah.
And the person who is...
Yeah, they were using the
pole dancing.
A crucifix.
On Jesus crucified.
With a corpus on it.
Right.
That's meant to be our Lord. And
an actual person, a man.
Yeah, a man does a pole dance on a very erotic pole dance on and around the figure of Christ on this crucifix.
Right.
It's just vile.
And
I mean, it's absolutely vile.
They traditionally have that mocking Catholic Church events, like at Easter time, they have a contest for a hunky Jesus and a foxy Mary. Mm-hmm. I mean, are these people out of their minds?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah.
And so what happened was people got involved saying no. Bishop Barron stepped up, and as a former bishop in Los Angeles, suggested that people boycott the event and
boycott the Dodgers entirely.
Yeah, the Dodgers entirely. The response from the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence mm-hmm. was to tell everyone to make a donation.
Right.
In Bishop Barron's name to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Well, actually, that request came from, sadly, from the man who is apparently some kind of expert on politics and religion and who holds the Bernardine Chair at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago.
Does he still?
I don't know. He's had some kind of... anyway, his name is mm-hmm. Stephen Millies or Mills. I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but... He actually tweeted out, and he's got a large following because he's mm-hmm. the Bernardine Chair at CTU, that people should make donations to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence mm-hmm. In honor of Bishop Barron's ordination anniversary. And so, I worked for Cardinal Bernardine for more than a decade, and I don't think I ever saw the man raise his voice to someone. He was the epitome of respectful dialogue with people with whom he disagreed. He was respectful. He was, he could be very firm, right?
Right.
But he was certainly would never, if he was around at the time of Twitter, put out a tweet asking people to donate to a group that his causes a lot. I mean, at a minimum, take what you think about drag queens out of the equation. At a minimum, it's very hurtful.
Yes.
It's a very hurtful thing for most Catholics, certainly for women religious. I don't think most nuns would see it because they're in cloister and they don't have social media. But if they did, they'd be offended by it, too. But this is a group. They've desecrated the Eucharist. They've gone up in costume and taken the host. They should never have been given the host at a mass. And they desecrated the Eucharist. I mean,
a Major League Baseball player,
yes.
Trevor Williams, who said that he was deeply troubled by the Los Angeles Dodgers' decision to reissue the invitation. And he said, and I'm quoting him now, to invite and honor a group that makes a blatant and deeply offensive mockery of my religion and the religion of over 4 million people in Los Angeles County alone undermines the values of respect and inclusivity that should be upheld by any organization. And he's pretty funny because he goes on to cite the Dodgers' own rules. He says that this invitation would seem to contravene the Dodgers' own stadium rules, which ban conduct or attire prejudiced against any individual or group because of their race, religion, or sexual orientation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Dodgers play the Cubs. I don't know when. But I'm calling on all Chicagoans, all Cub fans, ban the Dodgers when our ban protest yeah, the Cubs game.
Well, the Cubs are owned by a Catholic family, so I would hope that they would at least consider it. And again, I've done a couple media interviews on this, and I have drawn the distinction. It's not like we as Catholics don't appreciate, you know, poking fun at ourselves, poking fun at priests and nuns in a lighthearted way.
Mm-hmm.
We are known for our good humor in that regard. I mean, the musical Nonsense, which was about women religious, that was an ongoing musical for years. I think I saw it twice. It was funny.
And you probably saw it in a Catholic gymnasium for a fundraiser.
It's not like we don't know how to laugh or poke fun at ourselves. I mean, do black patent leather shoes really reflect up? I saw that. I read the book. I thought it was really funny. You know, Father Guido Sarducci, the character on Saturday Night Live, you know, he used to go around with the umbrella with the black cloth around it. He called it his portable confessional, and we'd walk around the park trying to hear people's confessions. I thought that was funny. It was clever. It didn't sink to the level of the actors and characters in Nonsense never took a consecrated host or desecrated it. They certainly weren't gyrating over a figure of someone that purported to be Jesus dying on the cross. So this is a very different thing than what we're talking about. It's not just campy fun,
right?
Although I get that there's an aspect of that to it. There is derision and mockery, and again, outright desecration of the Blessed Sacrament. No Catholic should stand for that.
None.
If this were, say, an organization that made fun of Muslims, and that where there was in the middle of one of their performances, you know, a desecration of the Quran, you better believe they'd be hearing about it, and we as Catholics should be right behind them saying that is wrong to do to anyone else's most sacred, you know, parts of their faith tradition. You wouldn't see if we saw them, they were pretending to be, you know, Jewish rabbis from the Orthodox Hasidic tradition, you know, making fun of, you know, their menorahs or what have you, you know, or the big furry hats that they wear called shrimals. We wouldn't stand for that, nor should we.
No.
I mean, I've been a little disappointed that I haven't seen many. There's been some evangelical Christians who have come forward, but not much else from the other religious traditions.
Well, Anthony Esselon wrote a wonderful article, and he compared it to if we were to honor the Ku Klux Klan. Surely the Ku Klux Klan gave charitable donations to poor people.
Right.
They may have been white poor people, but they did give charitable donations. And here's the same thing. This is a group that mocks Catholics, that blatantly is in your face and does things that are absolutely so horrific when you think about. And what is the purpose of their protest?
Who knows?
I mean, exactly.
Like, what is the purpose? That the purpose with Nonsense was, you know, for people to be nostalgic about the Catholic education that they had. And frankly, kind of at the end of the day, it was really respectful of the women religious who taught in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Catholic schools are successful for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're successful because you have these dedicated women, in large part, and priests, priests who are largely religious, the Jesuits or the Dominicans or whatever, who are essentially giving up their lives to teach kids and form kids. And that's why you had these great kids come out smart and knowing how to respectfully disagree with someone and being, you know, brought up with not only an A-plus education, but also learning how to be kind and a good citizen and a contributing citizen.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not to steal or kill or whatever. You have a whole... So that's why, you know, we, again, very successful. Nuns deserve a lot of that credit. There's a young woman who, this made the front page of the New York Times, who's a teaching sister in the Dominicans of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. She was Harvard's valedictorian. And a classics major, and gave the entire commencement speech in Latin. I mean, these are the kind of women now that are now giving up their lives to teach your children.
Right.
And if they're held up for this kind of mockery, I would hope more Catholics would step up and say, okay, you know, funny, it can be funny, Guido Sarducci, kind of funny, but there's lines in any kind of humor like this, there's lines that comedians are usually pretty careful not to cross. And this has crossed every possible line. And then this guy, CTU, trying to get people to make donations to this vulgar group in the name of another bishop. Again, another line crossed as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, and it really is beyond the pale on Bishop Barron, because if there is anyone who has tried to bridge the gap between Catholics and the world, Bishop Barron has interviewed atheists. He's interviewed, scientists. This is a man who is not afraid of the gospel, and he's not afraid to take it to the street or the marketplace.
Right.
And he's not afraid to get in the arena and say why Jesus is Lord, and that your best avenue of attack in this world is to unite yourself to Christ and his church and sacraments.
Yeah.
And so to take that person and make a mockery of who he is, where's the inclusivity?
Yeah, right.
Where?
Right. Oh no, it's inclusive only of things that we agree with.
Yes.
And could there have been just to briefly touch back on the Memorial Day parade? Mm-hmm. I wonder what would have happened if there was a pro-life float in that parade. If Illinois Right to Life had, a float, or if Congressman Dan Lipinski, the pro-life Democrat who got targeted by his own party for being pro-life. I wonder what the reaction would have been if they tried to be inclusive, or even say, the neonatal intensive care workers from Loyola, if they were there. No, seriously. There probably would have been protesters, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. I just hate that, can you go to a Memorial Day parade? Can you go to a freaking baseball game without this ideological stuff being crammed down your throat?
And, again, from a business perspective, what are the Dodgers in the head office thinking if they are? My gosh, you need a bank loan to go to a ball game
days. It's ridiculous.
The tickets prices are out of sight.
No.
You can't get a beer for less than $7.
Right.
My gosh, you can get a six-pack for that.
Right.
You can't get a hot dog and the sports memorabilia, all the other stuff that they're selling. They saw their ticket sales go down.
Did they?
I don't know about the Dodgers,
right.
But baseball in general saw the ticket prices go down, and they started to introduce family sections.
Okay.
You cannot buy if you're going to swear in this section.
Right. Order beer.
You're going to get drunk and intoxicated.
Yeah.
And so they made these areas family safe zones, so people could bring their kids. And now, this is what they're doing after setting up these family safe zones where your child will be safe to look at the drag queens mocking the Catholic Church? How do you explain that to your children that is not acceptable, when you're shelling out all that money for Catholic school?
Right.
The whole thing has me livid. Livid.
Yeah. It's really difficult, listeners, to be a Catholic sometimes in this day and age, in this culture, because... again, we want to see Christ in every person. We want to approach every person with respect. They are children of God, created in his image and likeness, and they have dignity because of that alone. But by the same token, if we see things that are harming our children, harming the faith, mm-hmm. mocking our faith, and certainly, people have died to protect the Eucharist. Died.
Yes.
And we're going to just sit back and let some group who desecrated our Lord in the Eucharist just get an award. We're just going to say nothing. And here, too, I have to say, just as a Catholic, I feel very strongly about it. But if this was another religious organization or another religious tradition and it was being held up for mockery in this way, I hope we would be talking about it with the same passion that we're talking about it right now. I would like to think that we would. And, this is why the Anti-Defamation League is usually very outspoken about these things. I'm kind of disappointed they've not said anything on this one where, if people had stood up and said something for them, Hitler may not have gotten as far as he did.
And what is it when they came for the gypsies?
Right.
I didn't say anything.
Because I wasn't a gypsy.
Because I wasn't a gypsy. When they came for the Jews, I didn't say anything. Because when they came for the Poles, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Pole.
Right.
But now they've come for me, and there's no one to say anything
There's no one to say anything for me because everybody's gone, right?
Yep.
So.
And Mary, the other thing, too, is having grown up in a baseball family, kids playing ball, kids traveling baseball is a culture. baseball is something that kids get themselves immersed in.
Right.
You know, they get themselves immersed in weather, because if you don't have a good day, you can't play. You know, there's so many things that a baseball family gets tied into, especially when you have a kid that's playing.
Right.
And one of the things is they want to go to the ball game.
Right.
Well,
right.
A major league ball game. Is this, I mean, I can remember, what was it? It was somebody in the demolition derby at Sox Park.
Okay. Oh, was that,
Gary and
Stephen Gary. Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer.
Yes. I even thought that was nuts. But still, they were doing it to draw a crowd. And it was good-natured fun.
And it was, exactly. It didn't, nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
You know, just stupid, you know.
Got offended.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it was.
Except
just,
maybe if your car didn't win the demolition derby.
Right, but. Exactly. But it wasn't, you know, directing, mockery at any particular, I guess maybe disco fans. I guess it was kind of making fun of them. But it wasn't, you know.
Right.
Suggesting that they, you know, be held up for ridicule and that kind of stuff. I mean, just saying your music stinks is not the same thing as saying, it's okay to take something that, you know, defines you as a human being and hold it up for mockery. And, and then this, then the baseball industry will then give you an award for doing that, you know? So this is not, it's not a free speech issue.
Nope.
It's not, no one is arguing that they don't have the right to do their performances. Of course they do, but it's.
I'm not going.
But I'm not going. Right. I have a right not to go.
I'm choosing
and not to pay
not
for
to
it.
Not to go, yes.
And now I guess what we all have to do is just not go to, I don't know, not go to the to see the Dodgers play, whether here or abroad. It's very sad that the that they couldn't find
someone else to honor.
And that they couldn't say, hey, listen, guys, you know, we understand, we support, you know, your work and whatever, but we can't, this crosses a line we've had, you know, and so at any rate, that's
Well, Mary, if anybody wants to read more about the opinion about whether or not this should happen, the article that we referenced, Anthony Esselon's A Sister of Perpetual Indulgence in the Catholic Thing, you go online and get it, and it's really good reading.
Anthony Esselon is I've had the opportunity to meet him and to go to hear one of his talks one time. He's just in it. There are just some people where when they put a pen to paper, fingers to a keyboard, I guess, in these days, just have such a gift of beautiful writing. And so even if you don't agree with him, he's just a fantastic writer. He is just such a technically skilled writer. So the words just flow when he's writing. He's a English professor, so he teaches, you know, poetry and literature and stuff like that. So he's a very well-read man, but also a brilliant writer. And when he sits down to write something, he's a very serious person. You'll always come away knowing a little bit more than you did prior. So, well, we're going to take our final break. Listeners, this hour is flying by. Please don't go away. We'll be back with our last segment momentarily.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening. The Winds of Change.
You know what Catholic Radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
And welcome back. We're here for our final segment. This hour has flown by, as it always does when I'm sitting down with my friend Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ. So it is June, which means it's quote-unquote Pride Month. Pride Month used to be just Pride the weekend. There was Pride Weekend with the Pride Parade. Now it's an entire month, and every corporation and every company has to jump on board. Did you see any of the controversy, Loretta, surrounding Target's line of Pride merchandise?
Yes, because every child wants to dress in Pride merchandise.
Right. Well, you know what? So they have merchandise, for those of you not following this particular story, merchandise
that's
geared...
There's so many. How do you keep up?
Geared towards both men and women, but also children. And they had one thing called, it was called a tuck bathing suit. So it's a women's bathing suit designed for a man to wear it. And tuck-free or something like that. And there's a very funny comedian, Alex Stein. He calls himself Alex Stein 99. And you can look at his YouTube channel. He's very funny. He goes to Target and tries on the tuck-friendly suit. And then walks around the store asking different employees what they think of it. It's very, very...
Only you would find that.
But, he's fairly well known, and he's been on the Chicago Morning's Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson before. He's just really a funny comedian. And he just says, you know, you wanted women or men to come in and wear these suits, so here I am. So it's very funny. But then, you know, it was interesting. What I really liked to see was the reaction of a gay man named Oli London. I don't know if you follow him. He is the author of the book Gender Madness, One Man's Devastating Struggle with Woke Ideology and His Battle to Protect Children. So he is an openly gay man.
Yeah.
You would not mistake him for a straight man if you saw him. I mean, he is, in his mannerisms and his looks and his hair, you know, he's quite outspoken. And he is very much opposed to anything being directed in this regard. He has no problem, obviously, as a gay man, with gay people living, you know, the lives that they want to lead and with whom they want to lead them. But he has a lot of objections to things being targeted to children. And so he did a fantastic interview with it was the News Hour from EWTN's News Hour. Sorry,
right.
I blanked on the screen, but I'm just, his Twitter feed is really excellent. And again,
Andy Stein 99.
Alex Stein 99, and and one of the other things Alex Stein does is go around to school board meetings, and also to city councils and testifies, you know, and drawing attention to some of the things that are just really inappropriate that are being done. And he is, reads right from their transcripts and things like that and talks to parents. So it's not like he's making things up. But at any rate, it is, Oli London is another one to follow. And he's got a very active Twitter feed. And, not objecting to LGBTQ people at all, but wanting to make it very clear that you draw a line between things targeted towards children and marketed towards children and then things that are really should be for adult consumption only.
I might have heard him on the radio. He was walking around asking people, did you come to Target to buy your LGBTQ? And the store asked him to leave. He was walking around through a Target doing like a segment.
Okay.
And then it appears that Target has moved the merchandise that it was targeting, no pun intended, to the back of the store because it wasn't even taking off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even address we haven't even addressed the marketing debacle of Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
Has
that young woman who was young executive, I'm not trying to minimize her as a person, But it was a young 20-something worker.
Looking for another job now?
I think so.
Oh, she is.
Oh, did they let her go? Okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. I heard a snippet of that over the weekend and didn't follow up completely. But, yeah, I'm not surprised because I think she has lost that company quite a bit of money.
Well, they're nobody's buying their beer, so she's more than lost the money. She's lost them respect in the community and... you know, Anheuser-Busch, I guess, was purchased by a European company. I'm not sure which one, but certainly she's tanked those sales, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You can't give it away.
No, and I think, you know, I mean, Bud Light is, it is what it is.
It was like the number one light beer.
Right, right.
And but nobody will touch it now.
No, oh, no,
and
no.
It's the butt of a joke.
Yes.
Oh, and so you're one of those that drinks Bud Light.
And see, again, maybe this is what, like, you know, companies, these companies need to, like, I don't plan on shopping at Target again. There's plenty of other businesses
yes.
that I can, you know, give my money to and I'm sorry, you know, I'll miss some good deals or some things that Target carries, and especially in their house goods, home goods department that I love. I think,
well, Mary,
know,
I think,
but
what,
I, you know, anyway,
you're not going to shop there, but you know, here's the deal. Are these stores responsible to their customers for a woke agenda, or are they responsible to their board of directors and shareholders for a profitable company?
Right.
And I think the desire to become woke and be all things to all people has overridden their primary purpose of being financially responsible.
Right.
And creating a profitable company. I'm stunned at why wokeism is taking over the nation.
Well, I just think people have to start voting with their pocketbooks and their feet, you know.
Yes.
And consumers have the power. I mean, you just look, my goodness, Bed Bath & Beyond is closing.
Yep.
Tuesday Morning is going out of business.
Yep.
All of these home goods stores that didn't quite kind of keep up with the trends and the times, and people just, you know... just stopped going there just simply because it just wasn't interesting to them anymore. And these stores, long-time established businesses, are just closing down altogether. So,
yes.
But consumers, you have power that you don't realize that you have. And I think with, you can disagree with, you know, Pride merchandise, first of all, by not buying it, and not buying into this, you know, this entire month where we're supposed to be, I don't know, celebrating something that, you know, again, we want to be respectful. And if you want to hear it, I have a really interesting Edify episode interview I did with Father Philip Bochansky, who is the outgoing director of an apostolate called Courage, which is for Catholic men and women who experience same-sex attraction. Very wonderful apostolate that he runs there, about how to navigate some of these difficult moments during Pride Month. You know,
mm-hmm.
how to, you know, what do you do if you're invited to a same-sex wedding, you know, which Catholics can't go to. You know, there's plenty of other weddings we can't go to as well, right? If someone's marrying outside the church without a dispensation, you can't go to those. So this isn't singling out gay people. There's just some weddings you can't go to. So how to kind of wade through the confusion, because there are some Catholic priests who have added to confusion rather than, you know, making it clear how Catholics are to respond to this. But it just...
And how about the people that want to get into the church on the gay pride parade route? You know, when the parade comes up this month, and they just want to get to their church to go to church.
Right.
And, it's all crowded and their freedoms are blocked.
Right.
They can't choose church.
Yes, right. Well, this has been a wonderful discussion we've had today on All Things Pride Month. And it was great to be with you, listeners. I hope you're keeping Father Anthony in your thoughts and prayers. And Loretta will be back next week. I am traveling for work again. But then I'll be back in 2 weeks. But Loretta, I know we'll have an interesting and exciting guest on to share with you. So thanks for tuning in and have a great week. Loretta, we'll see you
as
Monday.
Well, Mayor. Okay. Bye.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Changed.
meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.